Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So, over the last 3 weeks in church, I've had one scripture that kept coming into my head. And it was, think on things above and not below. And last Sunday, as Graham shared, last Sunday night as he shared, on walking in the Spirit, I loved the message. I just thought it was fantastic. And the thing that he said at the start is, this isn't complicated. It's a really simple thing that when we get it into our life, it helps us to live in such a way that is powerful and beyond our own strength. And so as I sat there last Sunday night, that scripture came back to me and I brought it up on my phone. It was in Colossians. And I just had a real sense that this week I wanted to do something very similar, and that's something very simple that we can take with us, that we can apply. And I'll tell you where it came from. Believe it or not, strangest thing, this above and not below, came from watching RBT. Does anyone watch RBT here? Does anyone watch RBT? RBT, it's kind of a police show where they... What's it stand for? Random breath test. That's right. So, gee, you get some knuckleheads on that show, I tell you. And as I was watching it, the thought came into my head after watching a number of knuckleheads was, how have they got to that point? Things have gone so far that they've got to that point. And I wrote a couple of things down of one probably 65-year-old guy just got himself a job and he'd, you know, gone out. A lot of these stories are incredible. But he had very few teeth. And he said, this was his response, you know, and I know you say silly things when you've got a mic and a camera in front of you, but his response was, I guess I was unlucky I got caught. And I sat there and I listened to it and I thought, what a stupid thing to say. What a crazy thing to say. And then there was a young girl who'd got her life back on track, and She'd gone and been out the night before, and she was on her pee plates. And the response that she had was, they forced me to have a shot. They forced me to have a drink. I never drink. And I thought, you never drink and yet you drank. And she basically, I think she just escaped through, or was going to go to court, but she pretty much lost her license on the spot. And it just made me think, what gets people to this point in their lives? And that's just two examples, and they're not the worst ones that I saw. And so as I was sitting in church not long after I'd watched this, this thing kept coming back to me, above and not below. Above and not below. And I know Dale did a series, Above the Line and Below the Line, a couple of years ago. And so I looked up the scripture, and so I'd like to start by just going through it, and I've picked out a couple of things. So if we can have that scripture up on the screen, and I'll work through it. And this is the Amplified Version, Colossians 3, starting at verse 2. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And if we can just quickly flick to the next slide. And then it says, and I've got two versions here. I've got the Amplified, and then I've got the New Living Translation. And so from verse 5 it says, so put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body with its sensual, self-centered instincts. Immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire and greed, which is a kind of idolatry because it replaces your devotion to God. And the part that I wanted to pull out in the New Living Translation was this. I just love it. So put together the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And as I read that, I just wanted to pull out those words, and so those words that are in red. And so the first one I put was set, and I went and just got a standard dictionary definition for these. And so for set, it was to put in the proper or desired order or condition for use. Set your mind, it says, set your mind. So if you go to set a table, you prepare it for dinner, things go in a certain place. And I think sometimes in the Christian life, we think things are just a bit haphazard, and you know, we just live from one day to the next. But it actually says set your minds. Set to put in the proper or desired order or condition for use. So that was the first word. The second one was keep focused habitually on the things above. So focused habitually on the things above. Now, the definition we had for habitually was an acquired behaviour pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. Now, habits can be bad habits or they can be good habits. And you've heard the saying, a hard habit to break. Some habits are hard to break, and over a period of time you can break them. But it's important that we set good habits. So it's not just about thinking every now and again on things above. It's habitually thinking on things above. Habitually thinking on things above. Okay, so the next one was temporal. And this amazed me. This was not something that I put down as a definition because I pulled it from a Christian dictionary, but it's interesting. It says temporal. Enduring for a time only. Temporary, transitory, and in brackets, this is a thing that I loved, opposed to eternal. We serve an eternal God. That is, the temporal is opposed to the eternal. And it's and if we read the scripture, it says, not on things that are on earth, which have only temporal value. And there's plenty of scriptures I could pull out on this, but I just want to go through these words quickly. So deprive, which is in verse 5. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body. And so deprive, to remove or withhold something from the enjoyment or possession of a person or persons. So we've got to starve the stuff that hurts us. We've got to starve it. Don't feed it. Deprive it. And it just makes such a difference. You know, if we just fill our minds with stuff that is going to be a problem, then it's going to be a problem. But if we deprive it, we starve it, it makes such a difference. There are some really good things and good habits and good things we put into our life that can help in this area. And often we just let things go and continue on in a certain pattern or a certain habit, and we expect the earthly things to change. But if the above controls the below, it just makes such a big difference. So the last one that was there was in the New Living Translation, which was, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. So lurking, to lie or wait in concealment as a person in ambush, remain in or around a place secretly or furtively. Genesis 4:7, verse 7 says, sin is crouching at your door, and it's waiting. It's waiting. Sin is crouching at your door. And as similar, this scripture says that, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of the things that can get hold of you that are below. Think on things above and it will help with things below. So as I did that study, I thought, what story in the Bible gives us a good picture, and this is really straightforward tonight, gives a good picture of thinking in the above versus the below. And so I've spoken on this story before. I found a message that I'd done on it, which was a good idea, not a God idea. And so it's the story of Abraham and Sarai. So I've got five quick things that I want to take you through. So if we read there, if you've got your Bibles, we're in the New Living Translation. So we're in Genesis 15 and we're reading from verses 2 to 4. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Now, back in those times, it was important that there was an heir to, you know, in the family to receive. And so there was different things that took place to make sure that that would happen. And so here's Abraham, talking with God about who the heir was going to be. And of course, God had a longer plan. And so the first thing that I wrote down was setting your mind on things above helps you to see the full picture in time, not part or half. And so God has a promise for Abraham. He's got a promise there to take him a certain way. But Abraham just keeps looking at, you know, he can't see the full picture. And so he's laid out something for Abraham. And this is before he was Abraham. So he was Abraham. Now, Abraham made some assumptions about what God meant from his own viewpoint rather than what God actually meant. Now, if we can just put that next slide up there to just get a little bit of a picture of what we're talking about here. Sometimes, from a point of view, we look at the circumstance and we need to get the full picture and not half the picture. And the poor little rabbit on the left, he thinks he's in for it, and the fella on the right thinks he's got it all together. In actual fact, it is just a massive thing in the things of God. We cannot expect to sort things out in our own mind. We've got to allow God to take us the full picture. It's when the full picture is revealed that makes such a difference. Have you ever read some instructions and made an assumption? Now, I don't know whether it's me too, but I hear often men will buy something and they won't read the instructions and they'll get halfway through putting things together and as men, most of the time we get it right. But on the odd occasion, we get halfway through and realise that we've left out half the instructions. And we need to read the full instructions because one missing part can make a massive difference to the end product. And so have you ever tried to resolve conflict? And I love the way Graham does conflict resolution. He's great with conflict resolution. Have you ever tried to resolve conflict after hearing only one side of the story? I have three boys in my house. And the number of times that I've heard one side of the story and I've learnt that you need to say, okay, just that sounds really terrible, what's happened to you, but let me hear the other side of the story. And once you get the full picture, things could be very different. Now I love the way Graham does conflict and I've seen it at work. If he's got two people that are saying different things, then the best thing to do is to get both people in the room just so you can pick which one's lying, because often it gets revealed. When you get the full amount of the truth, it gives a very different picture to what you see. And so it's really important, and it was important for Abraham here, when you're thinking of things above, to get the full picture. We are in such a rush. And, the Christian life often doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from a below perspective. You know, you read some of the things in Scripture and it says, let the weak say I am strong. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So sometimes it works in opposites. Who would have thought that one man who was God would have changed the face of history? It's interesting people say they don't believe in God and yet our whole timeline is based around one man. The Christian life says things like rest and wait. And it says things like turn the other cheek. And as we live our life from a above perspective, the things often don't make sense. But we must live in a way that is an above perspective. Okay, so the next thing, number two, Genesis 16. So Sarai said to Abraham, "The Lord has prevented me from having children." And this is some time after Abraham's had this discussion with God about having an heir. So Sarah's got this brilliant idea, and she says, "Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." So the second thing that I wrote is setting your mind on things above helps you make decisions based on the promise, not on the immediate circumstance. Setting your mind on things above helps you make decisions based on the promise, not on the immediate circumstances. God is love. What's the first thing the First Corinthians says about love? Love is patient. Setting your mind on things above helps you make decisions based on the promise, not on the immediate circumstances. The whole of our Christian identity is around love. Love is patient. I haven't been a patient person. And I'm doing my best, but I can't do it without God. If we rush into things, as Sarah had this brilliant idea, the outworking of it often isn't positive. And it can often cause damage in the long run. Set your mind on things above. It will help you make decisions based on the promise. We've got to hold on to the promises of God. Now, some of those promises might be from prophecy, but they might be just from what God says in His Word that we need to stand on every day, habitually stand on every day, and believe that in the long run, God is an eternal God. See, we think we're running out of time, and yet we serve an eternal God who exists outside of the time pressures that we put ourselves under. So the second thing is, helps you make decisions based on the promise and not on the immediate circumstances. So the third thing, Genesis 15:4. Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir," which we read earlier. And then we go forward to 16:4. So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar and she became pregnant. So this is a really interesting one, because some people would read this and say, but he's still fulfilling what God had said, but he didn't see the full picture. Well, let's just have a look at this. The third thing is setting your mind on things above helps you understand that custom and culture are subject to or under God's word. Now, I did a bit of a study on this scripture, and as I wrote down part of what the study said, it said there was an ancient custom illustrated in the old Assyrian marriage contracts, the code of I'll try and say it, Hammurabi, and the Nuzi tablets to ensure the birth of a male heir. And so here's Abraham thinking, I'm going to follow the customs that are put in place. But that's not what God was thinking. Now, one of the things that is very evident these days is the way people put custom and they put culture in front of what God wants. Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, Abraham was obviously focused on custom and culture rather than what God was saying. How often we miss it because we're so filled with what the world says and the way we should think rather than what God is actually saying. More than any time I can remember, culture, lifestyle choices, and current trends are being put in front of the prioritised over God's way of living and His Word. It's happening in work. It's happening in marriage. It's happening with our time. It's happening with our relationships. And the list goes on and on and on. The outworking is evident. We have more information available now, and yet this world is spiralling out of control. Culture does not come before God. I am sick of hearing people talk about the cultural things of society, and so we must fit in with culture in order to be a witness. What a load of garbage. What a load of rubbish. Jesus did not change who he was to fit in with culture. He was totally different. One of the things that I hear people say was, well, you know, and they use the first miracle of Jesus as you know, they use this as an example about when he turned the water into wine. Well, Jesus fitted into culture because he turned the water into wine. How you would get that out of that first miracle, I'll never know. So next time, before you make decisions on culture, why don't you think about what God is actually really saying? The fourth point, Genesis 16, verses 4 to 5. When Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms. But now she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." Sarai had the brilliant idea. Abraham was living from a cultural point of view, and here we have some major conflict. So the fourth thing was, setting your mind on things above helps you take responsibility for your actions. Stop blaming others, to forgive and to move on. Many people are stuck blaming others. And it is a massive thing. The blame game takes you nowhere but to keep on blaming. It wasn't me, it was them. They did it. It was their fault. They're the reason I am like I am. They're the reason I'm acting so poorly. But living above helps you to deal with you as the issue, not the other person. How many marriages do we see going down the tube because one person's saying it's your fault, rather than saying, "God, what are you trying to show me?" Setting your mind on things above helps you to take responsibility for your actions, stop blaming others, to forgive and move on. Last one, number 5. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." So this is Hagar, the one that, you know, Sarai suggested Abraham to sleep with. And so she had the baby Ishmael. And then, of course, Sarai started giving her a hard time. And this is a little bit between the angel and Hagar. So they're having a discussion, and the angel is saying, "Return to your mistress." So return to Sarai and submit to her authority. Setting your mind on things above helps you to do the right thing, regardless of how you are feeling or how someone else is acting under the circumstance. Let God take care of the other person. Set your mind on things above. I told you it wasn't complicated, so let's just quickly run through those 5 things. Setting your mind on things above helps you to see the full picture in time, not part or half. Guys, can we just run through that, go back to those ones as we go through? So setting your mind on things above helps you to see the full picture in time, not part or half. Secondly, what's the second one? Setting your mind on things above helps you make decisions based on the promise, not on the immediate circumstance. The third one, setting your mind on things above helps you to understand that custom and culture are subject to or under God's word. The fourth one, setting your mind on things above helps you take responsibility for your actions, stop blaming others, to forgive and move on. The last one, setting your mind on things above helps you do the right thing regardless of how you are feeling or how someone else is acting under the circumstance. So if I can go back to the very first couple of slides. Let's read that again. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'll continue on the next slide. So put to death and deprive of power the evil longings of your earthly body, which is sensual, self-centered instincts, immorality, impurity, sinful passion, evil desire and greed, which is a kind of idolatry, because it replaces your devotion to God. As I think back to that RBT, I just want to remind you, it saddens me how I've seen the lives of different people be at one point in their life, and yet they've gone so far down because they've set their things on their mind on things below, not above. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is designed for us to change our life and to give us a better life. So, Lord, help us to set our mind on things above. Even when the circumstances think, no, you know, do that immediately or say that or react this way. Lord, help us to come back to the things above. You can take the best out of any circumstance. And so, Lord, help us be aware to set our minds, to set good habits, to think on things above regularly, not on things that are temporal, because it is opposite to eternal things. Let us deprive the sinful nature and be aware that it's lurking. But Father, we know you have the victory. You have won the victory so we can have an awesome life. And so, Lord, help us to go to the place when it doesn't make sense of the things of you, to things above. We just give you thanks for your life-changing word, and I pray that we wouldn't forget, that we wouldn't let ourselves slip, and we would continue to think on things above, no matter what the circumstance says. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.